You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
It's 2017, and women still make up only 19% of Congress, 25% of state legislators, and 8% of governors in the United States. But interestingly, Donald Trump's election has inspired more women of both parties to decide to run for office. Joining us to talk about this surge of women candidates are Andrea Dew Steele, president and founder of Emerge America, a group that provides training to aspiring female Democratic leaders in 17 states, and Debbie Walsh, director of the Center for American Women in Politics at the Eagleton Institute of Politics at Rutgers University. I'm pleased to welcome both of them to our show. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
We also want to hear from our listeners. If you're a woman who's interested in running for office or is currently involved in politics, you can give us a call at 212-433-9692. Debbie, can you tell us about Ready to Run?
Sure. Ready to Run is a nonpartisan campaign training program that we've been conducting here in New Jersey for about 15 years. It's been quite successful. New Jersey used to rank in the bottom 10 in the nation for the percentage of women serving in our state legislature, and we now rank 14th. So we've definitely moved up. We also have partner programs in about 14 states around the country. And I think what we are seeing this year, not just here in New Jersey, but all across the country, is a real surge in interest in participation. Our program here in New Jersey is March 10th and 11th, and we are bursting at the seams and looking for a larger space to hold our training. So this seems to be the story we're hearing around the country.
And you're saying that this increase is happening in blue states and red states?
We're seeing it in blue states and in red states and some states that are a little more purple. We are seeing it in our partners in Pennsylvania, in Oklahoma, in Iowa, in Ohio. It is around the country, and there is a real interest in having a voice in American politics that I think we haven't seen. You mentioned that women make up such a small percentage of elected officials. There's no level of office in this country where women make up more than a quarter of the elected officials. And after the last election, we saw no increase in the number of women serving in the U.S. Congress. So there's a real need for more women to be present, and I think the result of this last election really showed women around the country that elections have consequences and that they can no longer sit on the sidelines. They have to step up, and if they want to see different kind of governmental institutions, they need to be involved and they need to be those people that actually run for office.
Andrea, what about your organization, Emerge America? Have you seen an increase in applications?
Yes, we have. So at Emerge America, our mission is to increase the number of Democratic women leaders from diverse backgrounds in public office through recruitment, training, and providing a powerful network. We focus on early stage recruitment, and so we recruit 365 days a year in our 17 states. And then we do a training, an in-depth training of 6 months. And following that training, we provide these women with a network of support. So what we've seen since the election is an incredible increase in the number of women interested in running for office. So we were very fortunate because our application process directly follows the election. And we saw an 87% increase in our applications. And we also did some webinars for women who were interested in running for office, and we saw 1,500 women sign up for those webinars. So we're seeing an incredible increase, and I think it's mainly because women woke up and realized that we had elected the most misogynistic president in the history of this country. It was an incredible slap in the face to women all over America, particularly those who supported Hillary. And what we also heard from women is they didn't realize how much they wanted a woman president until she lost. And, you know, they also saw a woman in Hillary who was a superb candidate. She won 3 debates and had to go against a man who whispered nasty woman to her and all kinds of unbelievable behavior that he displayed. She was flawless. She was intelligent. Certainly the smartest person in the room, and This, I think, really woke women up all over the country. And I am incredibly heartened by this because the biggest reason we don't have more women in office is because not enough women want to run.
Well,
so the fact that women woke up after this terrible election, from my perspective, and they decided to look into running for office is an incredibly hopeful sign for those of us who care about really utilizing the best talents that we have in this country, because that's why we need women running for office.
Well, Debbie, you're nonpartisan, but is there a sense that Trump's victory, despite his lack of political experience, has inspired women who also might not have political experience to run for office?
Well, I think we're exactly seeing women who don't have a lot of political experience thinking about now running for office. And I think we had a little bit of a concern after the last election that the result of Clinton's loss might be that women would retreat from politics, that they would look at that campaign and the tone and the tenor and say, that's not for me, or think if a woman as qualified as Hillary Clinton can't get elected, what hope do I have? But in fact, we woke up the day after the election to find that registrations were already starting to pour in for our Ready to Run program in ways that we have never seen at that early date. And what we really saw was that women were reacting, I think in some ways, as Andrea says, you know, they were reacting by being inspired by Hillary Clinton's win, but also being angered by Donald Trump's win. I mean, Hillary Clinton's loss and Donald Trump's win. And that win by Donald Trump really woke women up to the fact that they need to step up and have a voice. I think you saw that in the march in Washington and the marches all around the country and the world, where women were saying, we want to have a voice as this new administration takes hold and policies are changing, and we want to make sure that we're not sitting on the sidelines powerless and voiceless.
But
and running for office is one of the most powerful ways that you can have a voice on the inside and at the table when decisions are being made.
But just a few years back in 2013, the American University School of Public Affairs issued a report which was headed, Girls Just Want to Not Run, and it revealed that among potential candidates, lawyers, business leaders, educators, and political activists, women are less likely than men to express interest in a political career. And I was looking back at the last time we talked about women running in 1992, the so-called Year of the Women, after Clarence Thomas was confirmed. We were hearing that women were going to run. What's happened?
Well, you know, that year we did see that Year of the Woman. We've had a lot of them. They get called Year of the Woman frequently. We saw a doubling in the number of women in Congress that year as a result of a lot of things. One of the things that we saw was there were open seats, lots and lots of open seats, and so there were real opportunities for women. But we also had seen decades of women running for county office and state legislative office, and they were prepared to meet that opportunity when it came along. I think the work that you're referring to from American University is really talking in some senses, I think, about blaming women for the fact that they, in fact, don't get recruited in the same ways that men do to run for office. You know, women have great ambition to change the world. When we do surveys of men and women serving in state legislatures, the reason that they say they ran for office the very first time was because of a policy issue. When we ask the men who serve in state legislatures, they say, it's because they've had a long-standing interest in a career in politics. We think of that as women run to do something and men run to be somebody. But the reality is, I think for a lot of women, they look at governmental institutions, and if they want to make change, they may think Congress, for certainly looking at the gridlock there, is not the place to make change. And so what a lot of women do is they kind of work around government, and they end up working for nonprofit organizations, foundations, organizations, and they try to do the work on the ground. And then there comes a moment when they realize that to really have that voice, they need to be inside those governmental institutions with a seat at the table. You know, there's a great saying that if you're not at the table, you're probably on the menu. And I think for a lot of women, that's what occurs to them. That's what happens in that moment when they make the decision to run for office.
I'm speaking with Andrea Dew Steele and Debbie Walsh. The topic is running for office, something that women have been reluctant to do in the past. In fact, the report that I cited said young women are less likely than young men to think they will be qualified to run for office even once they're established in their careers. We have some calls coming in. Kate Moyer from Philadelphia. Hi, you're on the air. Kate?
Go ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Go ahead.
So I'm a member of the Emerge Pennsylvania program, and I reside in Harrisburg, which is the seat of government in the state of Pennsylvania. And I can attest to the impact that that Emerge's program has on women who were inspired by the election in November to finally take the leap to run for office. And I know for myself, it was an incredibly intimidating process. I was a political science major in college, communications and political science. I've always been really involved in politics. My father was a union steel worker, and my parents always really encouraged us to pay attention to what was happening in the political climate, to ask questions, to formulate our own belief systems, and also to challenge them, to become stronger in them. But becoming a part of the political system in America as a candidate was always something I thought I couldn't do, that I didn't go to law school, I wasn't from a wealthy family, and I wasn't a guy. So the odds were stacked against me. And this election and watching the results come in November, on November 8th, I didn't go to sleep that night. And I woke up the next day and I said, I have to do something about this, whether it's on a small scale in my own community or on a larger scale nationally. You know, hopefully someday that's something that could happen. But I needed to get involved, and the Emerge program was the gateway for me to jumpstart my involvement in the political world.
What do you want to accomplish if you're elected to the Harrisburg City Council?
Harrisburg is going through what I like to term a sociocultural renaissance right now. They have seen an incredible amount of growth in the arts and culture scene, and that has contributed to economic growth in the city as well. And that has been the result of a really concerted effort on the part of partnerships between city government and state government, and also local investors. And I would like to see us continue to improve the city, not just in certain neighborhoods where growth has been focused for the last few years, but to identify opportunities throughout the city of Harrisburg. I think it offers a really unique economic environment and also cultural climate for people. There's a really wonderful dichotomy of culture between this daytime politics, business-focused environment, and then those folks go home at night or leave the city, and the people that live there are really driven by wanting to have rich cultural experiences, have great restaurants and entertainment.
And
so
Kate,
I would love to find a way to partnership to continue that growth.
And I hear that you already have one of your speeches worked out. Thank you for participating in our show.
Me.
We're going to take a little break. A lot of people are calling in, actually. It turns out there are a lot of women who are thinking of running for office, and we will get to them, and we will continue our conversation with Andrea Dew Steele, president and founder of Emerge America, which is a group that provides training to aspiring female Democratic leaders in 17 states, and Debbie Walsh, director of the Center for American Women in Politics at the Eagleton Institute of Politics at Rutgers University, about to put together a conference in New Jersey on March 10th and 11th at Rutgers called Ready to Run. And we are back with our look at women running for office with Debbie Walsh of the Center for American Women in Politics at the Eagleton Institute of Politics at Rutgers University, and Andrea Du Steele, president and founder of Emerge America. And taking your calls at 212-433-9692. If you're thinking of running for office or have thoughts about why more women have not considered running for office, Marjorie from the Bronx, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
We are well. Are you okay?
I am doing well, yeah, thank you. It's been an exciting time for me. I announced in November, so it's been quite a ride.
So you announced in November before or after the election results?
After. It definitely inspired me to be more involved. I mean, I already have been in my community. I've been elected treasurer for my community board, part of both Democratic clubs. And I also was the first Latina voted as district leader for my area. So I've had some experience in that race, but definitely want to take it a larger, bigger step in running for city council.
Well, good luck with your race.
Thank you. Thank you.
So far, we've been hearing from Democrats. What about you, Immaculata from Brooklyn?
Hi. I'm happy to have to be on your show. I listen to you every day at work. I just had to call because I'm saying that, you know, women are saying that they want to start, you know, running for office because of what happened in the election of this year. I think I was a Democrat. I changed to Republican. I hadn't voted in years because I was so ashamed of the way our government is running our country. I think Mr. Trump is going to be doing a great job, and they should give him a chance. I'm embarrassed as a woman to see all these women out there going out there and making a fool of themselves when they should just grow up.
Well, in other words, you don't think that women should get involved in political activism?
No.
Or just not just the women who you don't agree with?
No. They should get involved in the public office because they want to do something good for this country, not because of what happened in our last election. There was nothing wrong with what happened in our last election. I says Hillary Clinton, it was a very corrupt person. She should have been out of the office. This guy, Mr. Trump, President Trump, decided to run because he wants to make this country back to the way it used to be, have some pride in our country, which we don't have any longer. Women are running now because of the last election. I think it's childish.
Okay,
you know, and the more education you have in this country, the dumber a person can be. I don't understand. I really don't get the way women are acting so childish in this way. And there are women that voted for Mr. Trump, for President Trump, and I voted for him, and I'm not ashamed of it.
Quite a number of women actually voted for Donald Trump. And when I think that the statistics indicate that white women, a majority of them voted for Donald Trump. What are you hearing about this, Andrea? Obviously, since you run a bipartisan, not you, Andrea. I'm sorry, Debbie. You run a bipartisan organization. Are you hearing women from both parties being enthusiastic about getting involved?
I think that the increase that we're seeing is largely coming on the Democratic side, although we don't really ask the women about their party affiliation when they're signing up. But we want to see more women in both parties. There are Democratic women make up about a third of all the Democratic women, of all the Democratic members of Congress. Republican women only make up about 9% of all the Republican members of Congress. So there is a lot of catching up that needs to be done on the Republican side. But I think it would be really a real mistake to think about the women who are running as being childish. I think these women who are wanting to run and wanting to be more engaged in politics, learn more about how the system works and how they can have a voice,
are there because they also want this country to be great and strong. They may disagree with the way this administration is going about it or the way your last caller feels things should be going. But I think people who run for office in large part run because they want to do good. They want to see things better. May disagree with their position on issues, but that's why they're running. So I think the women that we're seeing across the country who are more and more engaged, more and more involved, looking for ways to have a voice, are doing so because they care deeply about this country and they want to make sure they have a voice in shaping its future.
And sometimes sometimes they break with their parties, as we saw on the Betsy DeVos vote, where the two women in the Senate voted against confirmation, although they voted. You wanted to jump in here, Andrea.
Yeah, women are highly effective legislators, and on average, congresswomen sponsor, co-sponsor, and pass more legislation than their male counterparts. So this is really about getting our government functioning again at every level. And we need the best and the brightest in this country to be serving in office. We have 520,000 political offices in this country. And so leaving women out of these important positions is really not good for our country. And I just want to say that in 2016, before this election, or on Election Day, Emerge had 330 women running for office in the last cycle. And on Election Day, we had 213 women on the ballot, and 150 of them won. So these were women before this election who were excited about running and serving their communities. And so 70% of those women won in red states, blue states, and purple states. And so the issue is, it's not enough just to have women who are interested. We have to take them from being interested to filing papers to successfully running.
So is that the kind of training that you offer women interested in getting involved in politics, teaching them how to fundraise, canvass for a political campaign, file the papers, and all of those other things?
That's correct, Leonard, because as Kate said, being interested, somebody who is outside of that political realm doesn't know how to necessarily even enter the political arena, much less do all of the things, build a field campaign, you know, do public speaking. So that's what we train our women to do, and that's why we had a 70% success rate in November. And it's really critical that we provide women with the tools to be successful. And that's why we need to make this different from 1992 in the Year of the Woman, where we did see an increase, but then we flatlined, particularly at the state legislative level. If we want to see this increase and really turn it into tangible results with women running in 2017, 2018, and in the future, we need to give these women the tools they need to run and be successful.
Now,
I think I just want to say that I think Andrew is making a really good point, because we have been at this kind of flatlining for women serving, particularly at the state legislative level, for almost 20 years now. And the training is critically important, because we know that women don't necessarily feel that they are as qualified to run for office, and they may be more reluctant. But we also know there are lots of women out there who want to run, and there's a whole other component to this that's about the political parties and their commitment to recruiting more women to run, because one of the things that we know from some of that research that was done by American University is that women are less likely to get recruited to run for office than their male counterparts. And we know from our research that women are more likely to run if they do get recruited. So that recruitment piece is critically important. So it's wonderful that we're doing our program, Emerge is doing their program, there are programs for Republican women, there are other nonpartisan programs out there doing the kind of training that needs to be done so that women have the tools. But we also need to look to those gatekeepers that are out there that may be not opening the doors in the same way to women who want to run for office.
Kelly Dittmar, professor at the Center for American Women in Politics, recently wrote about the gendered nature of campaign institutions. What did you mean by that?
Well, it's that politics in general is gendered space. It's very male. And the way our politics work is geared more towards men. The assumptions are very male. It is on that terrain that women are taking steps into. And that's why it is not completely a level playing field for women coming into American politics. And that's why it's so important that there are programs like the training program, like Emerge, like our Ready to Run program. But because of that gendered terrain, we also need to look to those party leaders who are largely male and make sure that they are reaching out and looking to people that are not the usual suspects to be candidates for office.
Women in the past who went into Congress were often the widows of men who had died in those offices. It's hard to run against an incumbent, male or female. So aren't women also just who have decided to run for an office, running against something that can just as easily stymie a man?
Well, certainly, it's easier to run an open seat. We certainly have found that. But when women step up to the plate and, again, are prepared because they've been trained, they know how to do it, they can be just as competitive as men. And in our Emerge program, we take women through a six-month training program together with other women. And this is really a crucial factor as well when you talk about the gendered nature of politics. When you have other women learning how to run together, you form this bond. And then you have women to rely on when you're going through these tough races, maybe against an incumbent. Maybe it's not an open seat. And we had an incredible woman, Attica Scott. She ran in Kentucky for the state legislature. She beat a 32-year incumbent Democrat to win in the primary, making her the first African-American to serve in the Kentucky state legislature in almost 20 years. How did she do that? Because, number one, she's a great candidate. Because you cannot win races in this country or anywhere if you don't start with a good candidate. She ran a great campaign and had a fantastic message, and she ran and won in Kentucky. So women can do this. We can run against incumbents in red states, in blue states, in purple states. We just need to be smart. We need to have good candidates, well-trained, have a network to back them up, and get more women running all over this country.
I'm speaking with Andrea Dew-Steele, president and founder of Emerge America, and Debbie Walsh, director of the Center for American Women and Politics at the Eagleton Institute of Politics at Rutgers University. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. Debbie, I'm sorry I stepped on you, but I had to do that break.
I didn't want to step on you. I just wanted to echo what Andrea is saying, because what we know is that when women run, they win at about the same rate as men do in comparable races. We just need to see more women running, and we need to see the parties and those gatekeepers out there reaching out to women and recruiting them to run for office.
Doesn't the double standard affect candidates from both political parties? In 2016, Michelle Bachmann, a very conservative former congresswoman, told the Huffington Post, "I really do have great empathy for what Mrs. Clinton is going through, because the hill that she has to climb on, appearance, is just a different hill than men have to climb. I'm not whining about it. It's just reality." And does that reality deter women from getting involved if they have to think about being looked at for their clothing, for their hairstyle, for whether their voice is deep enough?
Those double standards do exist out there, and they do exist for women in both parties, Democrats and Republicans. Certainly when you saw Michelle Bachmann running, there were articles written about her eyelashes, about her shoes. You may have disagreed with Michelle Bachmann on a whole range of issues, but disagree with her on the issues. Don't disagree with her on the basis of her looks. And this is a challenge, I think, that women face, but it is not an insurmountable challenge. And it would be nice if in 2017 we still didn't have stories about the appearance of women but not about men, but we do.
But certainly I want to add that what we tell our women who apply for the program is that when you're running for school board and city council and water board and a lot of other races, DA, you're not going to experience the same kind of attacks that Michelle Bachmann or Hillary Clinton do. It just does not happen at that level. And we have to make sure that we don't paint the picture of running for office as being, you know, so tough. Most women do not have to experience that level of scrutiny. And particularly, you know, the women who, again, are well-trained and figure out how to have a good message, a strong message, they can enter the arena, and it's not that bad. That's why I want to make sure anybody who's listening on this radio show doesn't feel like if you're going to run for office, you're going to experience the same kind of attacks.
Alessandra from Westchester, you're on the air.
Hi, Leonard, and thank you so much for having me on. And Debbie and Andrea, thank you so much for all of the work that you're doing. So I worked on the Hillary campaign, and I, previous to that, had several campaign trainings because I've always been very interested in running for office. And so I'm primarily calling just because, you know, for the women out there who are listening, I think that we need you now more than ever. And so to the woman who called in that said that, you know, women stepping up now are simply fools, I have to say that I vehemently disagree, because for many, many years, what we've seen is men wake up in the morning. There's this wonderful phrase. Men wake up in the morning, they put their feet on the floor, and they say, I think I'm going to run for office. And then a woman wakes up in the morning and says, oh, she puts her feet on the floor, and she says, I think I want to run for office, but am I qualified? Can I do it? And so really there's this huge distinction between men and women where women just don't feel like they have the confidence. And that's why these trainings are so important. And so I think that the trainings are actually going to be working against acting like fools, which men actually in politics have been doing for many years. And so I think it's the complete opposite, actually. And I think we need women now more than ever. I, in fact, plan to run for office in New York. I think that the idea of incumbency is very challenging, but I think that, like, you know, if you step up to do it, you got to do it the right way. And if you're authentic and you have authentic leadership and you bring empathy and compassion and mindfulness into leadership, which I think women can do an amazing job of doing, which men just haven't simply done in the past, then we can be better leaders even, you know, than our than those who have come before us. And just
oops, I'm sorry. I turned you up. Maybe my lack of male empathy. I do
well,
want to get to one more caller, Erica. Hi, you're on the air. Make it quick, Erica. We're out of time.
Really quickly, my comment is I would love to run for office. I'm very afraid of how it would affect my income. I'm afraid to publicly take a stance in this political climate. As a sales professional, I'm afraid it would affect my income, and I'm not married. So that's a real concern.
And then there are other women who are married and who worry about how it's going to affect them as mothers of and just as the center of a family. Men often don't worry about those things.
And these are the kinds of questions and discussions we have in our Emerge training, because women have these kind of questions, and talking about it with other women who also might be in similar situations is one way to figure it out. And you might decide, well, maybe it's not right for me to run next year, but let me position myself and figure out how I can transition my career so that I can run. And the good news is that we have a group on the ground in New York who want to have an Emerge New York. So New York is 21st in the country in terms of women's representation. So there's a long way to go in New York. And, you know, if anybody's listening and is interested, please contact us at emergeamerica.org. Let us know, because we want to be in your state, too. We need strong blue walls in this country, and New York can do better.
Okay, emergeamerica.org. What about getting in touch with you, Debbie Walsh?
They can reach us at cawp.rutgers.edu. They can register for our Ready to Run program. We do have folks who come as far away as New York and Pennsylvania and Delaware to participate in our program. Happy to have you. We have a particular area within our program called our Diversity Initiative for African American women, Asian American women, and Latinas. So we are eager to see more women and a diverse group of women in office at every level. We need them there. They make a difference, as Andrea was saying. They bring a different perspective to the making of public policy, and we can't afford to waste talent anymore in this country. We need women at the table.
And we should point out there are a couple of other organizations, Emily's List and Eleanor's Legacy, that are also working in this area. My great thanks to the two of you for being on our show, Debbie Walsh and Andrew DuSteel. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks for having
us, Leonard. Thank you, Leonard. And nice to be with you, Debbie.